Good afternoon. Whoops, loud. My name is Wendy Collins, and I am welcoming you to Session 78, Strategies for Obtaining Transformational Gifts. Please join me in the conference prayer as we start this session to give glory and praise to our Lord. Page 3. Loving in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Loving and gracious God, we ask you to open our hearts to Savior's and to answer the call to be his disciples. May our response be rooted in the gospel. May we be ever mindful of the needs of our communities. And may our stewardship flow from a profound sense of gratitude for your many blessings. By the gift of the Holy Spirit, empower and inspire us
to respond in a way
that brings hope to others and reveals the love that comes to us through Jesus Christ. We ask this in his name, who is Lord forever and ever. Amen. Anthony Voltaggio will be the presenter today. He is the philanthropy officer for the Orange Catholic Foundation in Garden Grove, California. Please join me in a warm welcome for Anthony.
Thank you. This is great. I actually wasn't expecting anybody to show up. I actually begged a few of my friends I met a couple days ago just to come. So thank you for coming, and thank you for coming. Garden Grove, California. So you guys have heard of the originally the Crystal Cathedral. That then when Schuller passed, well, he was in bankruptcy first, but he was a Protestant minister, and he wanted it to go to the Catholic Church. So we weren't the highest bidder, but he chose us, which is really interesting. So if you know anything about the Crystal Cathedral, not Christ Cathedral, it's literally the whole cathedral is all glass. And so it's quite unique. In fact, I learned that either 2 or 3 years ago, you all were in Garden Grove at the cathedral for this meeting. So let me just kind of explain a little bit. First of all, I'm new to this conference. I'm new to fundraising, and some of you might be saying, well, "Why are you two speaking that? I mean, we could have gone to somewhere else." You'll see. And then, but this has really been a journey for me, both spiritually. I made a big switch. I was a wealth manager with Merrill Lynch. I was on a team, and my kind of niche is going to be a little boring, but my niche was estate planning and business succession planning. So when folks were dealing with either the size of their estate or they wanted to start preparing their business for sale, I would kind of get engaged. So that was my background. So I've always been a volunteer for the church. I worked in every volunteer position, including the choir. But I never thought I'd work for the church. And then I got a tap on the shoulder, and I had to make a decision whether I felt I was being called or not. And I said yes, kind of tentatively. It wasn't as good as our Blessed Mother. I was a little tentative about it. And then now that I'm 13 months in, I am so grateful for being asked to come and to all I've experienced. I've grown so much in just this period of time. And now I'm hurt. Today is going to be a little different. So you, and again, my first time here, so I heard wonderful things about, I should probably establish some ground up. I'm Italian. And so the people in the front row, you may get hit by my hands. The second thing is it's not yelling, it's passion. So once I take a form a little bit, I had to explain it to some of my wife's family that it's not yelling. And then we always have Sunday dinner outside generally. And we had to explain to the neighbors that it's not. So, and then So, and I do start getting a little fast, but I'll try to slow it up. And I forget where I am. I'm playing something that was really important. But let's get, so all the spirituality talk we've been getting, right? About there's two sides to fundraising. There's spiritual, there's material. And meet people where they are. You know, I went to the first year course on fundraising. It was on spirituality. You have trouble hearing? Okay. I've never heard that before.
So I went to the first year course on fundraising, and it was on the spirituality of it. In fact, I've heard some wonderful speakers over the last couple of days. It was all on the spirituality. And so today's going to be a little different. I'm actually going to be talking a lot about the material. Okay? I'm going to be talking a lot about the material. And from an outside perspective coming in, this is kind of what I see and have seen. And think, so just assume that we've already talked about all the spiritual stuff. And just know that I love Christ and I love His church. Okay? And that maybe we'll pick up on something. So one of the things that at one of the presentations I heard today was, okay, let me try it. Maybe we'll just do it the old way. I'm actually going to jump. One of the things I heard in one of the presentations is, okay, we all know that there's going to be a major transfer of wealth. But now let's talk about, you know, the spiritual stuff. And I totally agree. Except for, do you really know what the transfer of wealth is going to be? That's a lot. Yes, ma'am. Oh, you can't see because of that?
Can we move this?
Yes.
Thank you.
I'll have to bring it. I like using, you know, paper. And that's one of the things, too. If you guys are going to be taking notes, you want to get some paper out because I'm going to make you do a little bit of math. Simple, but a little bit of math. But that's a lot. Folks, this is a major transfer of wealth coming. Now, at our diocese, I'll kind of show you that. Let's let the numbers do the talking. Orange County. This is what we expect. Let me tell you what happened in 2022. And we commissioned a study to understand what the gifts were like out of Orange County. And to where they went. And so this is what we found out. $106 million went to Hogue Hospital. This is 2022. This is just out of the pandemic. Providence, 53. Hogue Hospital again, 50 million. University of California. You can read the rest. That's a lot. But I want you to ask yourself something. What's missing? Or who's missing? The church. Now, that 106 million, that 53, that didn't just come out of cash. See, as Catholics, we're kind of used to passing the hat and asking people for whatever spare change they might have in their pocket. But when you look at a person's net worth, only 3% is in cash. The other 97% is in something else. I'm thinking we should probably get good at asking for other things than just cash, right? Do you believe this? Do you believe this to be true? Now, I forgot to mention that my partner, Kathleen Hurt, she was not able to make it. And so, she's the other half of me. She does the spiritual ones. You see the biblical quotes and all that. So she kind of balances me out. Appreciated assets. We're going to talk about appreciated assets. why do we ask for appreciated assets?
This will give you a little bit of...
This is where I go to this site and ask a few questions. So why do we ask for appreciated assets as opposed to cash? More money, right? How? Well, if I own a stock portfolio and one particular stock did really well, and it's now I bought it for $10,000 originally, and now it's worth $100,000, then I have $90,000 worth of capital gain. Now, let's make this real. So capital gain, everyone understands, as 20%, right? So let's just write that number down as 20% for the national. Now, that's actually not true. The top rate is 23.8 because there's an excise tax on that. So whenever there's capital gain, you have an additional 3.8 that's on there. Okay, now, sure, we don't have humidity. Sure, California is nice. But we have our own capital gains tax on top of that. Our top rate is 13.3. Want to add that up? I asked you to do it because I can't do it really fast. So that's almost ordinary income tax. So if I were to sell something, now let's make the math easy. Let's say it was 110. And it cost me $10,000. How much is going to be at risk for capital gain? $100,000, right? So how much am I going to be paying in tax? I round up to 40, but that's, you guys are much better than me. That's a lot of money. So if someone goes to sell that stock, they're going to be paying $40,000. What happens in reality? In reality, what happens is the person will sell the stock, pay the tax, and now how much they have left? Let's say $60,000, right? They've got $60,000, and now they want to give something to the church. So they give out of that $60,000. But if they give the $100,000, now they get a $100,000 gift, a $100,000 deduction for that gift. Now, when the church goes to sell it, we don't pay any tax. This is a bigger gift. But the gift to the donor is that they get a $100,000 deduction. Now, this is all going to start making a little more sense as we go into each slide, but this is the basics. So if I have $1 million building, house, whatever it is, and I go to sell it, that's $400,000. Right? Just move the numbers up and up. So let me give you another example. There was a widow. Her and her husband used to go to the mountains, and they had a second home in the mountains. It's now worth $1 million. Everything in California is worth $1 million now. It's worth $1 million. Let's just make it easy and say that my cost basis, which is how I determine what my tax is going to be. Let's just say it's zero so we keep it easy. So we got $1 million property. So her husband passed away. It's been years. She's not going to take the windy roads anymore. She doesn't want to go to that home anymore. It's not fun without her husband. So now she decides that she's going to sell it. And she wants to give the church a $150,000 gift based on the proceeds of her sale. So this is the gift she wants to make. Okay. If she comes to us before, and I would say to her, ma'am, what if your $150,000 gift could actually be a $400,000 gift, and you would have the same amount of money in your pocket, would you be interested? Well, of course. But where's that coming from? Well, it's coming from, for our case, Gavin Newsom, but wherever you... Would you like to disinherit the government? Let me show you how. Oh, this is being recorded. Sorry. Sure, I would do that. Well, how do you do that? Does anyone have an idea how we can do that? So it's based on the same kind of principle we had before. So look at it this way. $1 million, I go to sell it, I'm going to pay 40%, so I'm going to pay $400,000, right? Okay. If, prior to sell, she donates a fractional undivided share of ownership of the property, then now we become partners in the sale. And then if she gives the church 40%, then the gift she gives is $400,000. But now her deduction is $400,000 at the time that she actually donated it to the church. And so she has a $400,000. She's also bypassed some of the capital gains because it's prorated. So she has less capital gains on the remaining $600,000. And she made a $400,000 gift. Did we ask her for more? Did we say, please? Did we try to connect with her and tell? No, we just did a little math. So would you be interested? What if it doesn't cost you anything, but it could go to the church? We could just divert some of that tax money. Would that be interesting to you? That's a real case. Now, many of us don't know, and this is one of the things, what I hope, is that for the moment, for this next 35 minutes or 40 minutes, let's suspend our disbelief. Let's suspend we can't do this. Let's suspend we've never done this before. Let's suspend this is not the way we used to do it. For the moment, let's just think what's possible if we learn. Now, okay, you're a wealth manager. You've got all this experience. This is very simple to explain. Not only that, and we'll get into it later, but building up your professional advisor network. You've been hearing a little bit about that over the weekend, but building up your professional advisor network is going to be really important for this kind of a thing. This is not difficult. Now, you have to change your gift agreements, gift policy and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. But this is a big difference. All right. We already went into the stock. I jumped ahead. So retirement assets are the same thing. So one of the things we started doing in our parishes, again, I was new, so it was easy to play dumb. And, I'd go to the pastor and I'd say, how many funerals did you have in the last 12 months? He'd think, some big number. And I said, well, out of those, how many left you anything? And he paused. I said, usually the answer, and I've been to almost 30 parishes, usually the answer is one or zero. Second thing I tell them is, how many people, look at your registry, how many people are over the age of 70? They'll say, oh, that's a big number. In some of our parishes, that could be a couple thousand people. And how many gave anything from their IRA? They're like, maybe a handful. Like, out of 1,000? Out of 2,000? You know, the principle. Some of you might be thinking, why didn't you just make it a slide? And I don't blame you for that. But I like doing it this way. The principle's the same. So the IRS allows you to give $105,000 out of your personal IRA every year. So what do people do? Let's just use $100,000 because it's easy. You pull out $100,000. How much do you pay in tax? Now, it's ordinary income tax, but it's about the same in California, right? So let's just say the 40%. And then they give it to the church. Or they do it monthly, because they want to take their required minimum distribution out monthly from the market. And so then they pay the tax, and then they give it to the church. Well, the IRS allows you, after the age of 70 and a half, to take out up to $105,000 from your IRA and give it directly to the church. Now, it's charity and nonprofit, but I like saying the church. So that means if they gave $100,000 out of it, the church, if given directly, so this is where I draw, this is the person, this is the institution, a Merrill Lynch or a, and then this is the church, we'll put a cross. If the institution gives it directly here, does not pass go, does not give it to this person, now they're giving $100,000. But if they give it to him or her, they're losing, you know, almost 40%. Now, this, anyone can take advantage of this. Some folks will say, okay, well, explain to me kind of why this is difficult, why this is, well, so the law changed. They allow the qualified charitable distribution to be taken out at 70 and a half. But the law changed in terms of the required minimum distribution to come out at about the age 73. So at the age of 73, the IRS says, we are forcing you to take money out of your IRA. That's what a required minimum distribution is. So the government requires you to pull it out because they haven't gotten their tax money. So they want their tax money before you pass away. So they require you to take it out. So folks who are of means, who are blessed that they actually don't need the income from their IRA because they have other sources or whatnot, they have to take it out. So it causes a problem. Not just the fact that they're going to have to pay tax, but they have to accept this as income. So that means whatever their income was before, they've got to accept that $40,000 as income. So that makes their tax problem even worse. So by giving a qualified charitable distribution, you're not only helping them to give smarter, but you're helping them solve some of the other issues they're having on the backside, which is now, because you know, taxes are paid based on a sliding scale up. So now you're helping them stay at maybe a lower tax bracket. You know, why aren't we talking about qualifying charitable distributions? Now, do you know, have you heard of a qualified charitable distribution? IRS allows you one time to take out $57,000 and put it into a gift annuity. One time. They allow you to do that. And so sometimes people say, oh, this is great, but I need my IRA money. Well, that's an option. A qualified charitable annuity gives them the income. They pay tax on it as they get the income little by little. But then when they pass, whatever's remaining goes to the church. Now, you realize that the largest purchasers of annuities in the billions are people over the age of 65. We've been around for 24 years, our foundation, and we've sold 3. Right? So, you also realize that on an annuity, a charitable gift annuity, based on the age, it could be higher, much higher than commercial carrier. Now this is all going to kind of build on itself. So we got to start with the basics a little bit. But now you know why I tried to be funny in the beginning, because none of this is very funny. But let me pause for a moment. Do you think that's valuable? You guys think that's valuable? Right? But we only talk about the 3%, not the 97. This is kind of good. It's like a dramatic pause, and I walk across the stage. Real estate. We don't talk about real estate enough. Well, now you all understand. I feel like the Wizard of Oz. I'm going to give you a diploma from my little bag. You guys are all financial advisors. You get this. You know, if someone has a home and they're going to have tax, then you can see the benefit of it. Well, let's talk about real estate for a second. We talked about fractional gifts in advance of sale. Outright gifts. This may not be as, it's not going to be for everyone. But the fact is, some people actually give the gift of a home, the whole home, as a donation. Let me tell you a story. Story is, this is recorded. Jeff Bezos, when he got divorced, no, let's not pick on the divorce. Let's go with the owner of the formerly known as the Redskins. He was kind of forced to sell. I don't know if you heard about that, right? But he had a home, and I can't remember the exact number, but just humor me. Let's say it was $40 million. He had a home that was worth $40 million, but every time he put it on the market, he couldn't get the $40 million for it exactly. But so he just kept holding on to. Well, he had an involuntary taxable event. He had to sell the business, and now he's got a huge tax bill he's got to deal with. And so it was more worth it for him to donate the $40 million home, take the full deduction, than to actually sell it and take whatever the profit was after paying the tax. People do this. Remember that Bezos thing I was talking about? People do this. But we, as a church, I think need to start understanding this and looking for ways for us to be able to articulate this and be able to actually do it. And we'll get into that a little bit later. Someone tell me the time, because I keep saying a little later.
4 o'clock.
4 o'clock? Okay. This is when the interesting part comes right here. All right. Ever heard of a bargain sale? You ever heard of a bargain sale? Well, you know what a bargain is, right? You pay less for something than, you know. Well, let's say, I gave you an example of a lady with the gift. She gave a fractional share. But there's also other ways of doing that. And there's other reasons why you might do it. But what if I sold to the church the property at a bargain? Let's say the church wants to buy the property. It's right next door to the church. And the nice little old lady wants to sell it to the church. She doesn't need all the money, plus it's going to give her a big tax bill, but she does need some of the money. So let's say she has $1 million home, and she says to the church, hey, I'm going to sell it to you for $500,000. That means the church only has to come up with $500,000, and she wants $500,000 back. What's the value of her gift? Yeah, that's easy, because I use 500,000, so it's like 50-50. But yeah, that's exactly right. That's a bargain sale. There's so many techniques like this that are should be part of our quiver of arrows when we're speaking to folks. Remember, for those of you who are coming a little late, I've already talked about Jesus, and I love him, and right? We're just talking about taxes right now. That this is a big deal. This could be a way that old little old lady says, well, I can give you more than I thought because I'm giving you a portion I was going to give in tax. Right? So it's not just about asking for more, but we're getting more. How many folks know that, I hate using names because hard to remember and all that kind of stuff. But how many know that you could actually give your house to the church in advance? Show of hands. Great. Excellent. For those of you who don't know this, the IRS allows you to give your house in advance. So let's just say we're not in the business of stealing little old ladies' houses, right? But let's say a little old lady wants to give the house when she passes away to the church. And she waits until she dies. We heard a lot about bequests. Oh, I know what I wanted to tell you. It's true. Whenever we talk about planned giving, people think gift, death gift, right? So one of the things that we're kind of experimenting with is strategic giving, alternative giving. right? These are all strategic ways. These are all alternative ways to give that they may not have heard of before. And because it's true, people start thinking the only time we can use any of these things is when you die. No. And it's transactional. Whenever money's in motion, whenever there's a tax bill that's going to come due, we can utilize any of these approaches. So when I was a wealth manager and I was in my secular hat, people would come in every day saying, I'm going to be selling my business. I'm going to be selling my property. I'm going to have a major event. The stock I own, is splitting and I'm going to have to force sell some of it, whatever it is. So it's transactional. It has nothing to do with death. So in this instance, we're talking about death. Of course, that's why I brought it up. So when I pass away, I want to bequeath the house to the church. Wonderful. But did you know if you did it in advance, you can benefit from the tax deduction today? So if you're on a fixed income, or you're pulling money and you wanted to stretch it out of your IRAs or out of your 401ks or whatever pension plan you may have, we can give you an extra deduction for something you're already going to do in the future. Called life estate. That's all it is. We create an agreement with the homeowner and say, you can live in the house, you're still responsible for paying the tax, you're still responsible for fixing the toilet, you can paint it whatever color you want. We'll never kick you out, but when you pass, it'll go to us and you can get the benefit now. How does that work? I'm going to just explain it really quickly. Basically, the way it works is they look at the present value of the future gift. So let's say the house is worth $1 million, because I like using that. And the life expectancy is 10 years. I'm going to be making up numbers because this is being recorded. Life expectancy is 10 years. Then what they look at and say, okay, you're getting to live in the house for free. You're getting a benefit from this. IRS is going to say, we'll give you a $700,000 deduction, not a $1 million deduction, because what's going to be remaining by the time you pass is that $700,000. So that's the number they use. This is a tremendous value for folks, right? We just need to know it's an option. Now, some folks will say, I'd love to leave you the house, but I may need the money. Or what happens if I go to a home? Can I rent that out and get the money? Guess what? You can actually rent it out, and they can still continue to get the money. They could even really sell it at the end of the day. We would just be a partner in it. So these are wonderful tools. But one of the ones I wanted to tell you about is, have you heard of a life estate with a gift annuity? Anyone heard of that? Okay, great. You can keep me honest. See if I'm explaining it right. So what if they say, you know, I have a lot of equity in the home. This is like my major asset. I may actually need some of the income from it. Can I give you the house now, but be able to pull out some of the income either right away or some point in the future? Yes, you can. Now, the value of the gift is going to be a lot less than the $700,000 because you're going to be getting money from it, right? It all makes sense when you look at it as building blocks. Okay, enough on that. But any questions? I've been going through a lot of different concepts pretty fast. Yes. Yes.
So you talked about fractional shares in real estate.
Yeah.
Is that something that is in all states,
or is that just something you pick up? All state. Yeah, you know, that's a good question. I think it's all states.
Okay.
Right. But you do have to, this is where I give the disclosures. You have to, you know, go to your own state and go to your,
and then on the IRA gifts.
Uh-huh. They can take it out monthly. Yeah. Good question. I'm going to go to you next because you were, go ahead.
So with the retained life estate and gift annuity, where is the money coming from it for the income to the annuitant? Is the charity just fronting the money? The donor gets to retain
Yeah, no, it's excellent question. And obviously, usually when speakers say, you know, we don't have time to cover it, they don't know what the answer is. But we don't have time to cover it. But what I would tell you is, what I tell you is universities and hospital systems. By the way, you remember that chart? They were all hospitals and universities, right? Some of them were Catholic hospitals. So I hate always picking on Notre Dame, but they're really good at this stuff, right? But the church, we have to. But the answer is there are also partners that work with charities so that they don't have to accept the risk, and then it'll come out of their fund. They're pulling it out of a pooled fund that are specific for charities. Yes? Did you hear that? Catholic Extensions will do that. Great. This is all about sharing ideas, folks, and sharing resources. A lot of our priests. That's exactly right. They're worried about, a lot of priests are doing that. You're very young, Father, but someday. They're afraid. The reason why people purchase an annuity is because it'll pay for the rest of their life. Or the rest of themselves and their spouse's life. And so their fear is outliving their money. And so that's the benefit of annuity. And that's exactly right. A gift annuity would be the same concept. Yes?
I had a question. I was piggybacking off that. For those dioceses that can't receive those benefits from a Catholic extension, we partner with called National Gift Annuity Foundation.
National Gift Annuity Foundation. It's another great resource.
Yeah, so you don't have to have liability.
There you go. You got some resources now. Yes, ma'am.
Is that national annuity card, do they manage your annuity program in totality too?
Yes.
Yeah.
They issue it.
What was it called?
National Gift Annuity. Knights of Columbus do it too? There you go. Knights of Columbus. Do I hear anybody else? Okay. Question, yes. Oh, no, only questions. No, I'm kidding. People from Kansas are so serious.
It is issued under their name, but it's not really even a white label. It is issued under their...
It's issued under their name, but all the person really cares about...
Yeah, all the person cares about...
is that the gift will go to the church. Yeah. Yes. Oh no, you get one chance, and you used it, buddy. Go ahead.
So on the life estate, when if somebody decides to rent it out, have you ever had an experience where, I guess I'm...
No, I've been here 13 months. What kind of, no, this is all theory, buddy. This is not, no, go on, I'm sorry. I'm just kidding.
Tough crowd.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, one of the things let's play a game and let's not think of what's not possible, all the little innuendos and all that kind of stuff. We can get into like the nitty gritty of all these things, right? And so, you know, why do we call it a fractional, undivided share? Oh, okay. Well, we call it a fractional undivided share because let's say you own a minefield. And you give the church a little bit of the land up top, but you keep all the resources on the bottom. They won't let you do that. Okay, that's what fractional undivided share means. So many details. But here's the problem I was having when I got started. Kind of like you guys, this is boring, right? This is. But what's exciting is what can be done with it. Now, you know, when I first started, I was getting way too much into the details, and maybe I'm doing that now. But I just want you to know it's simple, and I want you to know the ideas, and I want you to know that we can do this, and we can do this as a church, and this would revolutionize the church's giving you know, across the U.S. if we just start getting a little bit aware. You don't have to become an expert. You don't have to become a financial planner. Don't worry about giving tax advice. You're not giving tax advice. You're just giving ideas. And you're giving, I'm already at 5 minutes? Okay. I gotta move. I just want to give one more idea then. Because I think this is important.
Because, back to, we talked about the selling of a business. Oh, life insurance. You know, one of the things I heard this whole weekend, or, you know, the last couple of days, and it's true, you can name a beneficiary, right? We know this. We can name put the church as a beneficiary.
Wonderful, wonderful tool. But did you know that you could actually sell this to the church or gift it and it has a value and now you can get a deduction for it? So you have someone who, I mean, there's so many different wonderful things that could be done, right? We just need to know what's possible. You don't need to know the math. You don't need to know the, I want to get into the professional group. But before I do that, back to every day in a financial advisor's office, in a CPA firm, in an attorney's office, someone is walking in and saying, I'm going to have a taxable event this year. You need to come up with some solutions for me. And charity is just one of those solutions. So what am I saying? What I'm saying is the church belongs to have a seat at the table. That doesn't sound right in English, but we should have a seat at the table. English was my second language, but that was like 40 years ago. I mean, I'm 53. Figured I'd... this is being recorded. I'm just like bearing my soul here. And then I forget what I'm going to say because I went for the joke. Every day they walk in and they say that. And so this is just an arrow in our quiver. Right? But we deserve a seat at the table. That's why. Right? Because we can add a lot of value. And the way people, business owners, people of large estates, they want advisors all to talk. They want it to be a round table. We should be on at that table. So sale of a business. Sale of a business. Oh, I gotta do this with a picture. I gotta do this with a picture. I think you'll like this one. It's better than the other ones. Okay, so I've got a house. I've got a business. I got something. It's worth $10 million, but I have a magic box. So if I sell my business for $10 million, I'm going to have the same problem, capital gains. How much? $4 million. Okay, well, I want to sell it, and I want income from it. Okay, I'm not going to parlay it into something else. I'm not going to I want income from it. So I've got a magic box here. What does this magic box do? Well, it allows me to sell whatever's in the magic box and not pay capital gains on it. Oh, that's a neat box. So here's my business. That looks like a person. But he puts the business or the house. House is easier to draw than a business. $10 million. Okay, now I go to sell it. Well, first of all, I get a deduction for putting it into the magic box. Today, I get a deduction. Today. And then I put it in this magic box, and now that $10 million, I don't pay $4 million in tax. Magic. So now I have $10 million that's invested in a portfolio. Your financial advisors will love this because they get to invest it in a portfolio for them. It can be fixed. It can be in an annuitized payment. But the fact is now they put it in a portfolio for them, but the whole $10 million goes in. If they sell the business and they pay $4 million, they only can use $6 million in a portfolio. The math is simple. So you're giving them $4 million more that they can invest and take income from. So now they take income from it for the rest of their life. Whatever the number is, I've forgotten what that be. Let's say it's $300,000 a year for the rest of their life, both of their lives. Wonderful. And whenever they pass away, the remainder goes to the church. Pretty simple. Oh, people say, yes, but now we've got the kids, those dreaded kids. Okay? Well, that's true. There are solutions for that kind of thing. First of all, most people will not put their whole business in there. Okay? It's going to be some kind of a fractional share. Right? So maybe they put 25% of the business, 30%. We figure out how much tax deduction they want and some of that kind of stuff, how much income. So there's a lot more to the conversation, but I want you to learn this magic box. And so let me just tell you how we take care of the kids. So we say, Mr. and Mrs. Prospect, donor. They may actually, one of the things that happened, this has already happened, where they say, you know what, I'm taking out too much income from here. Well, that's okay. We can make the church an income beneficiary with you. So instead of the $300,000, you can give $50,000 to the church, and you just take $250,000, you get an increased deduction, and you don't have the problem of increasing your income. But we can buy a life insurance policy that when, from this money, that when they die, the children get the life insurance policy, and the church gets the remainder of what's in here. It's simple. The solution's to everything. It's just we got to figure out what they want to do. Okay? So, I'll end with, work with your advisors in your community. Work with the CPAs, attorneys, and financial advisors. I'll tell you this. There's three reasons that you need to do that for. One is they may not know. Most people don't know this. This is actually a very specialized field. Okay? So most advisors don't know about this. So by teaching them, you can help them. Second thing is if they know, they don't think the church can do it, because they only know Hoag Hospital and UCI and everything else. Well, the church can do it. We're smart enough. We have smart enough people who can do this kind of stuff. And so, yes, we can do this. Third thing is they don't want to take the time to do this, because guess what? I'm making this easy and simple, but the reality is you're working to people's eternal life. You're talking about their legacy. You're talking about what they want to see happen. They start sharing everything about their children, whoever's an alcoholic, I don't like my daughter-in-law, so on and so forth, right? It takes a lot of time. Advisors like, I don't have that kind of time. I'm not getting paid for that. But we can do that. We can journey with them. We can walk with them. We can accompany them in their life and do that, and so that we can be a help to them. So build a network of financial advisors for that reason. So I think I'm out of time. Okay, so I have time for questions. Yeah, yes, ma'am. You're so cute. Yes, it does have a name. It's a charitable remainder trust. Charitable remainder trust. Now, one of the things I've been doing the last 13 months is learning how to make these things more simple. Next year, and I hope to see all of you here next year, I hope I'm here next year, and I hope I can make it even more simple than I did today. You get better and better at it. I think it was Einstein that said the genius is when you can make something complicated seem simple. And so I'm not a genius yet. I'm at the lower level, but yes. How do I get what? How do you get to the table? Because you got to bring value, right? So we talked about bringing value spiritually with walking along somebody. Now we got to bring value, bringing other ideas to them. So if you have these kind of ideas, they want you at the table. We had a homeowners association, it was Association of Apartment Builders in Orange County. They have over 2,000 apartment owners in this association, and they, I ended up sitting with one of their board members, and I went through a couple of things. He's like, I've never heard of this. I don't know what this is. Explain it to me. We spent time explaining it. He goes, people need to know this. And so they asked us to do a presentation for a real estate association, right? They're like, they're not even Catholic. Well, we're 1.3 million Catholics in Orange County. We're about a third of the county. So if you put 100 people in front of me, about 30 are probably going to be Catholic, right? But I don't care, because I'd rather some charity get it, and I'd rather some people know these ideas so that we pay it forward, right? We do. Now, we do. I'm just saying it applies to everybody. This isn't just special Catholic stuff like our sacraments. Anyone can get this. They don't have to go like this. Yes. Yeah.
What are the best ways to do that?
Excellent. First of all, call your Catholic advisors from your parish. So one of the things I do is I tell the parishioner, the pastor, you have advisors right now in your parish, and you probably know a few of them. They might be on your finance council. They don't know this. If they do, they don't realize they can do it with you. Second thing is call them. Do an announcement at the end of Mass saying, I'm going to have a little wine and cheese event for financial advisors, and invite them to meet, talk to the pastor. So we've already started doing those. So the pastor calls them out, gets the advisors to come there, says a few, the spiritual things we were talking about in the beginning, and then we start going into this. And that now they know. Because here's the thing. Good advisors, especially, they're not there trying to sell other people it's not oil of Olay or whatever, it's not multi-level marketing. I don't even know what, that shows you my age. I mean, my mom used to use oil of Olay. I don't know. It's like Gina Tay, that's the other one. I don't think there's Gina Tay anymore. Jordash Jeans, what do you guys think? Man, I'm sorry. I never said I was cool. I just said but you see, I forgot what I was talking about again. What were we talking about? Huh? Huh? Oh, with the father. So they will have parishioners, financial advisors or parishioners will have parishioners as clients. Not only that, we don't have time to talk about it now. Read a little bit of Tipping Point from Malcolm Gladwell. The fact is they're connectors. You talk to one CPA, you talk to all of their clients. How? Because the CPA now knows this, right? So, yes?
Are you willing to talk about the experience you've had with Guided by Grace and kind of what you're doing?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't think we have enough time for that. But I was actually referred to Laura, and they said, this great seed planting attorney in Newport Beach, and, you should meet her. She's really Catholic, just like you. That's what the person said, They're just like you. You're really Catholic. I'm like, okay, let's find out. And when I met her and her husband, they're amazing. They're amazing people. And they do exactly what I don't do. They do the spiritual part, right? I mean, I do that. I'm just trying to be funny. The reality is there's so much more that we just need to get familiar with, and that's what I'm trying to share with you all. And we can learn to do it together. Right? We can learn to do it together. So I'm sorry, but I'll do it one-on-one. You can call me. We can Zoom. There, that's a modern term, right? Zoom. Zoom me. Okay, any other questions? Well, listen, you guys have been a terrific audience. I know everyone says that to their audience, but you guys really were. And I don't know where my information is, but please, if you have any questions... Zoom me. If you really enjoyed this presentation, remember I do accept gifts of Gina Tay or Olay and Jordash Jeans. So, but I think this is the point where you clap before you leave. Everyone go.